The world has a lot to say. It can be hard to cut through the noise and find great audio when you want it. Clamor makes great audio accessible by organizing everything into 18-second highlights. Clamor gives you a personalized power feed of the best information and entertainment in audio. If you discover something that you love, tap to expand the Clamor into full-length music and podcasts. Best of all, you can share Clamors with friends. You can even make your own Clamors, record from scratch, import, or remix other people's Clamors. Clamor brings you the world's best audio, one bite at a time.
Welcome to chilloverradio.net. Today's show is sponsored by promodj.com, audioboom.com, clamor.com, sbsdesigns.com, Athukar Digital Distribution, Media Services NYC, Open Bar Music, Republic Music, nyc.com, vintagesoulsupply.com, diamondfuse.com, and manhattanscreenprint.com. Enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Hey guys, before you guys embark into our podcast, The Open Bottle Talk here on Chill Lover Radio, we wanted to go ahead and let you guys know, first and foremost, that this show contains adult, and I do mean strong adult situations, dark humor, and above all, vulgar language. If you're a person who has a weak constitution or any of the things that I stated in this warning, please go ahead and turn this off. No hard feelings. And by the way, Frank, yes, is there anything else you want to throw in there?
If you're Sandy, you might want to leave.
Fair enough. Enjoy. Also, you guys have been warned. All right, guys. Hey, guys. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Open Bottle Talk. My name is Key.
I'm Frank.
And Frank, apparently you pulled me out of bed. I got a busted hand. What the hell are we doing here way too early? We're like here early on... Was it January 16th? It's Martin Luther King's birthday. Monday. This is a Monday. Normally we record on a Friday. What the shit?
Number one, you complain a lot.
Well, and fuck you.
Right. And number two, we wanted to get together with the guys from Immortal Brewing out of Las Vegas.
Okay.
So we've got Andy.
Mm-hmm. What's up, guys?
And Keith.
What's going on?
And they brought their friend Upchuck.
Wait. Andy, good times?
Andy good times.
King of the shenanigans.
Yep.
That's fucking great.
Dukes out for Harambe, baby.
Yes, right. Ladies and gentlemen, if you guys didn't listen to our disclaimer at the beginning, things are going to get a little weird because that's just the way it is. Five guys, one cup. Things are going to get pretty intense. We're also filming live on Periscope. So Periscope, if you guys haven't found us there yet, we are OBS Beers. And we're going to allow people on Periscope to interact with during this whole entire broadcast. So Frank, since this is something you put together, I'm going to let you conduct a show,
sure,
and then I'll just jump in when it's necessary. So take it away, Mr. Frank.
Generally, we just kind of go around and kind of find out how's your week been going, but since it's only the first day of the week, fuck it, let's skip that part.
No, let's not skip it.
Yeah.
I fucked my hand up.
Oh, yeah, but they know about that because we talked to these people on Friday.
Yeah, but they don't know it. The guys from Roto Bruin don't know it.
No, I suppose.
It looks retarded. I look like I'm either part penguin and...
he fucked up his hand.
Yay! Okay, let's move on. No, I shattered it. It sucks.
Vigorous masturbating.
We're going to Dildo Factory. Product testing. Need to make sure that it is great under heat and pressure.
Shake weight?
Kinda.
Okay.
We're working on some new technology, some nanotechnology with dildos. Okay. Splash guard resistance and a little bit of skin flake non-sticking type of lubrication. So that way, like when you're done with it, it doesn't look so dirty. It just looks good. It's just like, wow, it's pristine, but you've used it 800 times.
It's still dirty. It just doesn't look dirty.
It's got a nice polymer finish to it. You know, so.
Kind of like key.
Absolutely. It's still fantastic. Dirty,
you know, the way you say that, it's totally believable.
Exactly.
He's rehearsed that
totally
shit.
Totally believable.
Exactly. Yeah, I didn't rehearse shit. That was like that on the fly.
That was the moment of improv.
There's no way he didn't
this
write that down.
This guy really works in a dildo factory.
They have a new polymer double-headed dong.
Where can I get one?
Oh, shit. Wait till you see the V6 Polestar edition, you know. Say Hemi by Shelby. All right, so go ahead, Frank. You guys go have your fun. I'm going to drink.
Well, usually, like I said, we kind of go around and ask how our week's been, but again, it's only just started. So other than Key breaking his hand, why don't we just jump right into it? What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it. Everybody got their condoms on? Everyone, yep. We're good?
Let's do this. Let me get another one.
All right.
Absolutely.
Got that Astro Glide going.
Here we go. Wait. What are you doing? Oh, we provide.
There you go.
Oh, smell the beads.
Man.
Smell those beads.
I was about to say.
Don't smell those beads.
Absolutely. So right now, guys, we're just having a couple of beers just going around the table. One of them is Deschutes Red Chair NWPA. We'll do a review on that later. We also got some Hoegaarden. Is it all just Hoegaarden?
No. Hoegaarden is what I have in my backyard. Hoegaarden is what we're drinking.
Hoegaarden.
Hoegaarden. There's no W in there.
Yeah, but it's not from this country. It's not American.
So it's pronounced Hoegaarden.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Seuss is everywhere in this bitch. I smell a who. You look like a who. All right, so that's what we're drinking on, guys. Also, later on, we're also going to be doing a mead by you guys as well. Perfect. All right, so let's just dive right into it. Can you guys go ahead and tell a little bit about yourself? Goran, we'll start with you, Andy. Tell a little bit about yourself, a little background, and then we'll get into Immortal Brewing Company.
Well, Periscope knows me a little bit. I'm Andy Goodtimes. I've been here a couple times. Colombian, American. Love beer. It's been part of my life, you know. Pretty much since I was like, I don't know, maybe like 8 years old. I remember we used to be sent out to go buy beer because in Colombia that was a regular thing. You could go buy beer, you know, when you were like eight. Like, so your parents would send like seven or eight kids so that we could all carry a case. And, you know, one would always get lost on the way.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
So beer has always been a part of my life.
And, love the cartel.
Yeah, absolutely. Uncle Pablo, cheers.
Cheers to Pablo.
Cheers.
All right, we're going moving next to the gentleman who, ladies, if you guys are not watching Periscope, this guy, okay, I believe you're married, correct?
Yes.
Okay, you want to give a huge shout out for your wife first?
Yep, Christina. Love you, babe.
Okay, because this shit's what, ladies and gentlemen, listen, if you're a true fan and wonder, you know, that misconception that all beer drinkers are fat, gross, and just pudgy looking like your dad.
I'm going to stop you right there because you never said that when I was here, so
first off, first off, Andy, I've never had to sit next to such a fucking chiseled motherfucker. This dude, like, is
a man
built,
crush going on here.
I'd suck his dick. I swear to God, I would. No homo. No, ladies, he is.
That's full homo.
No, fuck that. Fuck that. Sometimes if you got to chase greatness, you're going to have to get on your knees, is all I'm saying. No, this guy is a good looking son of a bitch, and he looks like a fucking out of Hercules, the fucking TV series. Like, he kicked Hercules' ass and raped a lion, like, right in front of Zeus. And listen to his laugh. That was his powerful laugh. Holy shit, he's a good-looking dude. All right, go ahead and take it away. Tell him a little about yourself. Demigod.
Hilarious. Well, I'm Keith. Grew up in South Florida. That's where I met Andy. Moved here 11 years ago to Vegas. Beer has been really the only thing that I've been super passionate about. That's how we got into this. Been drinking, like most of you, for a very long time.
Fair enough.
Luckily for me, I was able to grow a beard at 14, so I've been buying alcohol much longer than my
current
age. True story.
Wait, ladies and gentlemen. open bottle talk. ChillLoverRadio.net and obsbeers.com. Do not condone underage drinking. It's just that we come from a simpler time.
Pre-9/11.
Me and Keith come from the 1800s before pre-Jesus.
Yeah.
And back then they didn't have those type of laws. So just let you guys
know. This was also in Miami
theoretically, this may or may not be a true story, but I was already 21. He was still under 21. And I would send him to go get me beer because he wasn't going to get carded. Theoretically. Allegedly.
Love that.
Allegedly. The allegations.
Allegations, that's what I was going to
You know, work. No one should do that, but it happens. You know, no one's perfect.
Hey, hanging out with your uncle who has slippy fingers, that shit happens too, you know, but you can't really get in too much trouble. So, and the last gentleman on the end, Mr. Upchuck.
I'm Upchuck from Southern California. Good friends with Good Times and Keith, and big fan of their beer and Immortal Brewery.
Nice. A little bit about yourself, though. That's great. I mean, why you been on there, Jock? We're talking about you. Like, what about you?
I'm 32 years old. I'm a chef.
You too.
I am. Cheers to being a chef, man. Absolutely.
Are you Sagittarius or
Gemini?
The twin testicles.
I know, right?
Big biker. Into the biker scene and
Rough Rider.
Love their beers.
Rough Rider.
Really? Are you really?
Okay, like, that's kind of creepy. Guys, we're going to probably, if you guys want to come to our marriage later, that'd be great. It's legal in several states. Okay, so, Frank, do you have any questions for these gentlemen? And then we're going to rock and roll with the show. That was just a hell of an introduction.
Let's rock and roll into the show because I don't want to spoil the questions now.
All right, guys, we'll be right back. We'll see you in 2 seconds.
Welcome back to Open Bottle Talk with the guys from Immortal Brewing Company. Say hello, guys.
What's going on?
What's up?
There we go.
Good
very,
times.
Very good. So, how'd you guys meet?
I'll take this one. So, had a group of friends since middle school, really. And right around high school, I would say, maybe college time, we used to go to this place. I'm not going to advertise it, but it's a pizza buffet place.
And cheese.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. You know, one of those, like, pay $5 and you eat whatever is in there.
$3.99.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah. You're making it sound more elegant.
Yeah, it wasn't one of the good ones. So, my friends apparently walked in. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. A little background to that. So, everybody would get together and watch Smallville. Oh. They were all about Smallville. So, whatever it was, Wednesday, we get together and watch Smallville because everybody was just, like, into Kristen Cooch. You know who I'm talking about.
I love Cooch.
But you know who I'm talking about.
I don't remember her name either.
Yeah, but she was smoking hot. We were all about it. So, we get together. And apparently, these guys walked in. I saw this guy. He was a cook, right? He was a pasta cook.
I was a pasta cook. Open kitchen. You come to me. Tell me what you want to cook in front of you. And
so just the way Key had a man crush at first sight, those two guys walked in and they're
pasta
like...
Pasta voyeur.
They walk in there, they order the spaghetti, and this dude fucking comes out and cooks that shit. And they were like, dude, you need to cook without a shirt.
So you can get wait, you mean to tell me he's been built like this?
He was born like this. I swear to God.
Here you go, you have a brand new baby peck, and the rest of his body, like, grew in and shit. It's a boy.
When he was born, he just bit off his own umbilical cord and started flexing, dude. It was ridiculous. So they were like, you know, he laughs. They were like, oh, that's hilarious. And they were like, hey, do you like Smallville? He was like, yes. And they just told him, like, you want to hang out?
Strange fucking question.
Hey, dude, I don't mind raping you, but do you like Smallville?
They're trying to get him back to the house. I don't know what they're game was, but they got him back, and he showed up, and I never left, man. And we just kind of like he became part of that little group, and we've all been friends for a very long time. We're like very close friends. I thought he was Canadian for the first 2 years I knew him.
Really?
I swear to you.
Why?
Because somebody made that joke, or he said he was Canadian, and I believed it. And for like about 2 years, I made fun of him, and I'm like, "Oh, he's all about Canada, eh? He's all about Canada, eh?" And everybody laughed, and I thought it was hilarious.
Joke was on you.
Joke was on me. Like 2 years later, I found out he was like of Cuban descent. But would you not believe that though? I mean, look at the guy.
Yeah, right.
I'm black and look Mexican. Trust me, I believe it. You tell me. Trust me.
Wait, you mean you're black?
Wow! I'm so calling La Migra. All right, so and then let's go piggyback off that. So you're at the pasta station. You're thinking about taking your shirt off. I ask you this question. What made you decide to roll with a whole bunch of Cubans? Like you're like, fuck it. Like, I guess nobody else wanted to hang out with you?
Well, no. It was one of those things where you're working two jobs, going to college, so I had no time for anything. Saw some group of guys who were like, hey, you want to watch Smallville? I'm down for whatever.
You know, so far that point. Doesn't sound great, bro.
Yeah.
That sounds like really bad decision making.
Sounds terrible, right?
Group of guys.
Sounds like a great experimentation night. So how'd you become gay? Well, right. A bunch of guys at a pasta station walked in. And
you know, so like, you know, I could use a little break whenever. Let's go see, you know, hang out with some these guys. And he was there, so it'll make it sound like he wasn't.
Right.
And we just all hit it off, and we've been friends ever since. His parents like me more than they like him now.
That is so 100%.
Everyone
true.
Likes you more than him. Like, Andy, you can't come back to my house without that person right there. Or at least a picture of his neck down. I mean, from the neck down.
I'm just going to make a little fucking plush doll out of his pews.
Is your guys' like your mascot's like his torso? Like a bust of his torso? Like Immortal Brew?
Well, there is...
Power through hell.
There is a joke where I've always wanted this, and I told him now that we're opening this brewery. We haven't brewed the beer yet. I don't know what it's called, but I want to be painted as a centaur. Like, I want to be a half Clydesdale, like, and send it to my high school and just be like, you told me not to do anything in life. There you go.
That's a big horse. Like, out of any horse, like...
Well, what do you think he was going to do, a pony? Like look all fucking misshapen, dude.
Can we get, like, something that'll fit through the fucking door? Like great, you brought your scimitar, friend. Great.
Well, you don't have to worry about the horse being in proportion to him is what the issue.
Yeah,
you
better be careful.
It's gotta be Clydesdale.
Now that you guys are opening your brewery, Anheuser-Busch will come after you for that, right? They're like, you're losing our Clydesdale.
No, they have a Clydesdale, not a centaur.
Yeah, it's not a centaur.
Oh, nice.
But they'll understand the hooves. They'll be like seals hooves.
Just they don't
like
have a fucking. They don't have what do you call it? A patent on the hooves. The fucking horse was there before them.
We don't know how the extent of InBev is. You never know.
Yeah, they're like the fucking empire.
That's right. Let them come after the centaur. See what happens. Yeah.
Sorry, dude. We're suing you for the hooves. You're like, fuck. Now you gotta put little dainty shoes on them.
Like, oh my god, like a fucking deer body. It'll be great.
Change to like a
dainty deer body.
And then how did you run into these guys as well?
So I met Good Times basically on the through a friend of a friend, the motorcycle club scene. We instantly hit it off. Introduced me to Keith. I go and hang out with them while they're brewing their beer and everything, and they're, you know, I'm a very novice beer drinker. You know, I'll drink anything. You know, I don't really care. You know, and I'm not really too, you know, I couldn't tell you about this or that or whatever. But they're slowly kind of getting me educated on it.
Oh, nice.
So I'm pretty stoked on that.
Nice.
So, yeah.
All right. Frank, you have a question for these guys?
So how'd you guys get your start?
Virtually pretty much. I was here. He was still back home in Miami. And we'd always talk, like, since we met, we're always like, dude, we should open a bar. It'd be awesome, right? As the years progressed, we always talk about bar. And then all of a sudden, bars, like, became just beer. Like, why even deal with food? You know, we both love beer. We're so passionate about beer. I'm like, dude, I couldn't imagine doing anything else. I'm like, let's open a brewery. I'm like, come over, move to Vegas. We'll get settled, and we're just going to open a brewery.
Nice.
And he moved out here, and that's exactly what we've been doing for 4 years.
I
just been working on this.
Literally got a PowerPoint presentation as to why I should Vegas.
No, good. Because
this is not a joke.
When I met you, it was last year. I was working as a sous chef at Old School.
That's right.
And you came in, and you just was – I was hanging out at the one place, and you kept bringing me beer, and I was like, dude, we recorded some of the beers under homebrew section on the website, and then you haven't left either. So now that you're here, I hope you come by and things
absolutely.
Like that, and you as well, Mr. Upchuck. So let me ask you guys a real serious question, if you don't mind.
Yep.
Okay, so what is your fallback if, let's say, the brewery doesn't succeed?
I think,
like, what are you guys going to do? Like, were you going to go underground, or are you going to collaborate with another
brewery?
There's
definitely a plan, but I'm going to tell you, just first and foremost, there's no way we're not going to succeed.
No, you get what I'm saying,
though. I understand. I understand. What I was going to make it super clear. Like, we've put heart and soul, blood and tears and sweat into this. This is not an amateur hour thing. So
right.
I know for a fact that we're going to make it. And we're gonna bring beer into Vegas. We're gonna bring beer into this world, and we're very proud of that. The community here has been very welcoming, very nice to us. They see what we're doing. They see that we're putting in the grind, and we've had their support as much as we've supported them.
Right.
So we feel very confident about making. But let's say worst comes to worst, I know for a fact that I'll stay in the beverage business. I left an entire life in Miami to do this.
Right.
I had the house, the wife, job was clean cut. And once I got here, I got to grow my beard. And you know what? I ain't going back.
There you go.
I ain't going back.
What about you, Ms. Keith?
You know,
pasta station.
No, definitely won't be cooking. I love cooking at home. Commercially, no. To be honest with you, never even give it a thought because I'm so positive that we're going to make this work. We've been working on this 4 years. Hardcore,
eight total, but 4 years.
Yeah,
total.
8 years in the talk, but 4 years legitimately getting together, brewing, talking about what we want to do, core concepts of our brewery, things like that. So, I mean, I told him, I don't look past that. I'm like, the breweries, I can't imagine doing anything else. So we're going to open this brewery, not only, you know, obviously for us, but we don't have this desire to be like a national or international giant mega brewery. We just want to make a living, making good beer and hope people enjoy our beer as much as we do. And then also, if it didn't work, we'd owe someone a lot of money. So,
yeah, so we probably die.
I wouldn't really want to talk about what I have to do at this point. But yeah, so failure is really not an option.
And for you, Mr. Upchuck, if something happens to them, are you still going to be around?
Oh, I'm like, oh man, these guys ain't getting rid of me, man. I'm right there with them. The beer that I've tasted, the professionalism that I've seen these guys go through and everything, there's no way that they can't not.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, for me, what I can say at least about the beers you guys make, when Andy came over and I was telling him about what I do as a beer reviewer, He gave me a chance. I was like, all right, let's see what you got. And he comes over, didn't tell me anything about the beers, and I literally couldn't find anything bad except for there was a particular beer you brought me, but it was not as complex as all the other ones.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm glad you gave me this one later in the line.
I think that was our Honey Biscuit Smoke, which is meant to be a very relaxed, very mild beer.
And I haven't found anything bad about anything you guys make. I always talk, like, as a chef, I always talk about beer like food. So when you can fill someone's heart and soul in something, you literally can taste that work. And unfortunately, I can't find nothing bad about John's beers yet. I'm going to find that flop, I promise you. Frank, you have anything for these gentlemen?
Let's see. How much longer do you think it'll take till you actually have the brick and mortar ready to go? I'm sitting at your bar drinking your beer.
Truthfully, we're hoping to be opening doors to the public by this fall. If everything goes right, we should secure all our funding by hopefully sometime at the beginning of next month. From there, we'll have our building and we'll be able to start construction. You know, purchasing the brewing equipment is the most important because that by itself takes
24 weeks. 6 months to purchase, have them construct it, bring it over, install it, you know, make sure everything works, all the connections are proper, everything flows well. So, I mean, we are definitely looking at a 6 month period from the moment, minimum, from the moment we get the building situated.
How big are you starting out?
We're going to
do barrel wise.
We're going to do a 15 barrel system to start out. We're doing a 30 barrel fermenters, which gives us room to grow. So if one of the beers takes off real quick and 15 barrels isn't enough, which obviously would be fantastic for us, we would still have that capacity to do a double batch. So that's more or less what we're looking at right now with four fermentation tanks and a bright. We'll start off with four beers. As business dictates, we'll be able to buy more fermenters, more brights. And, you know, intelligent growth is definitely a big part of our
business.
Our business model.
Yeah.
I think one of the cool things about the Vegas beer scene is, number one, there's not a lot of breweries. But number two, crowd is fucking loyal. Seriously.
It's very loyal. I mean, even in the breweries and town, they all work together. They're all really great with each other. They've helped us. No one's flinched an eye. If we ask to meet with a brewer or someone that runs the brewery, they've not flinched. They're like, we'll meet you whenever at this time.
Great support from them.
We're
in a position right now where it's large enough where you can see its growth. It's small enough where there's no need for competition. You know, as we were running the numbers for our brewery, for the brewery, and we're checking all the stats and all everything around us, we realized that the growth is huge. Like, we still have plenty of room for growth here in Vegas. We're talking about a state that has 25 breweries right now.
Yeah.
And compared to like California, where there's hundreds upon hundreds.
Yeah.
Everything that's around us, really, like, there are hundreds of breweries. We have 24 total in the state, and out of those 24, like 13 are here, 14 are here.
Right.
In Las Vegas. And there's still the amount of money spent by a person over 21 years old on beer is still small compared to what's spent everywhere else. And it's not for the lack of wanting to spend. It's actually it actually comes down to the selection. We don't have that much selection here. And so the consumers actually welcomes innovation, welcomes new breweries with open arms. And we love that. The breweries welcome new breweries with open arms.
Okay. Let's see.
Well, how about we just take a few minutes?
Yeah, let's take a break because I definitely got some more questions.
Oh, fair enough. You guys having a good time?
Phenomenal. I love it.
Fantastic.
All right, so welcome back to Open Bottle Talk.
By the way, fuck y'all.
It was less than 2 minutes. Less than 2 minutes. Less than 2. Anyway, welcome back to the show. We are here with our friends from Immortal Brewing. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you.
Welcome back.
Glad to have you on the show. One of the things I wanted to ask was, how did you come up with the name Immortal Brewing? Like, Key has his own ideas. I'm not sure if he said it on air before, but if you check out our replay on Periscope under the OBS Beers, you'll see what he had to say about what he thought the name came from. So how did you guys come up with the name?
Funny enough, about, like I said, me and this guy have known each other for a while. We are very passionate and about beer, but we're also a pair of fools. We're dumb.
That's a nice way to put it,
and
too.
That's a very nice way to put it. We're dumb about a lot of stuff. So that little group that I keep talking about that we all got together, we all hang out and watch Smallville. We also did a lot of dumb stuff. Like, for example, me and Keith specifically, we're college students, couldn't afford to really, you know, go out and play paintball with the kids that had the money. So we just went to Walmart and bought slingshots and paintballs, which was a lot cheaper. And then we just run and chase each other in the neighborhood, just shooting each other with that.
Yeah.
One day, for whatever reason, we decided to light a smoke bomb inside his car.
in a Walmart parking lot,
and sit there to see who could stay there the longest. We built a ping pong table, which was great. Then we played ping pong on it for a while. And then when he was moving here to Vegas, we decided that because we built it, we named it Hephaestus, by the way, so yeah, this whole Greek theme really goes with him. Because we built it, we decided that we should also, we brought it to life, we should also take it out. And so we decided to put on a racing helmet and run headfirst into it to see who could break it.
Well, you guys are fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We've actually lit each other on fire.
Yep.
During a hurricane.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great story, and if we have the time, I'll go through it, but that's the gist of it. So when we were kind of like coming up with the name for the brewery, we just realized we haven't died. So we have to be immortal. And there it is. Yep, Immortal Brewing Company.
Let me go back to something that you just said. Who won the contest of the smoke bomb in the car?
I think it's pretty even. I don't recall. Someone was coughing.
I recall one thing. When we did come out of the car, there was some girls walking by. They're like, is that car going to blow up? And we're like, yes, run. They took off. And almost died, probably from smoke inhalation, but it's also from laughing.
It was pretty awesome because when you looked at the car, I mean, it's just, you can even see the steering wheel. It was just smoke. I don't know what color it was. But
orange.
Okay.
Yeah.
Orange, but it was awesome.
This is great.
Good times.
Good times.
Exactly.
Indeed.
We played rugby together too. So, I mean, just today we've gone through a lot of injuries and stuff like that. And we just, like I said, we haven't died. So we figure Immortal has got to be the name.
Nice. It's got some significance to it. That's cool.
Absolutely.
Where do you get your inspiration for the beer that you're making?
It's pretty much what we feel. I mean, we take a little bit, definitely us, like, you know, in our history, our past, you know, our heritage and everything, stuff we like, and we just kind of brew what we feel. Not almost, none of our beers are really to style. You can't go in the BJCP guidelines and be like, oh, this is, you know, this type of ale, they're all different, you know, so we don't care about being too style. We just want to make sure, you know, we use a style as a template, but we go from there and just kind of what we think would be fun, things that we like. And
we draw a lot on, like, on history. We draw a lot on what we feel would make a good beer, just something that might be missing out there. Something, the HBS that we were talking about early, Honey Biscuit Smoke, that beer was designed because we figured, how do you show up to a barbecue without a pack of you know, a big brewery, a six pack, you know,
right?
How do you show up there, you know, and not bring some crazy craft beer that's very thick, that's not going to go with everything, you know? Like, well, what do you do? So we figure, hey, let's make something that's going to kind of go with everything that's in a barbecue or in a grill,
right?
So we made a beer that has a little bit of honey malt, a little bit of smoke malt, that's kind of malty, so you get a little bit of that biscuit flavor. Because if you look at a burger, you got the bread, which is biscuity, you got the meat, which is smoky, and you got the honey, which would go in a barbecue, let's say barbecue chicken. So it all kind of bridges into that, and you can show up with that. And it's something that you can definitely pound all day by the pool while you're barbecuing, you know. And that was kind of the idea. So we just look at, like, how, we look at things like that. We looked at our heritage, him having Cuban descent, both of us being from Miami. We have another one that's called Dissidence Rising, and it's a Cuban coffee milk stout. Oh, so nice. I mean, everything in Miami, if you've been to Miami, if you've heard about Miami, if you anything in Miami, you know that it works on Cuban coffee. That town doesn't do anything until it's had its morning Cuban coffee.
We can't even brew,
and neither do we.
Unless we drink Cuban coffee. Right. Like, we can't function. We've noticed if we don't drink Cuban coffee before we brew, we make amateur errors. So I make Cuban coffee and we're pinpoint. So we talked about it one day. I'm like, why don't we make this into a beer? You know, listen, so we sat there drinking the coffee, pulled all the flavors and incorporated it into beer. And, cool. You know, we're cool. Thrilled.
Now, one of the things I have tried is the Cuban coffee milk stout, which was phenomenal. But another thing that I've had has been your mead. Which is interesting because you don't see a lot of, for lack of better words, production breweries doing mead. Do you plan on carrying mead in your, let's say, tapper?
Absolutely.
100%.
They better, because I tell you what, I never had mead before in my life, and these guys gave me mead, and I don't have to drink anything else ever again. I love my alcohol. I will not have to drink anything else ever again, so long as these guys give me their mead. It is the most fantastic thing I've ever tasted.
Mead is definitely more personal for us. So for me, definitely, you know, we've actually made mead longer than we've brewed beer.
Okay.
We have a friend, hardcore, loves mead, into like all the reenactments at Renaissance fairs. I myself love the ancient literature. So if you read anything Norse saga related, there's this beverage they called mead in there. And I'm like, I got to get my hands on this stuff. If it's good enough for Beowulf, it's good enough for me. You know, so.
Who's his granddaddy, by the way?
So definitely mead is on the menu, you know, until we could produce our mead commercially as well. We will definitely carry whatever mead we could get our hands on at our tasting room. So educate the populace. Not many people know what mead is, but pretty much almost anyone we show what mead is just ends up loving it. And there's a mead for everyone. You know, there's sweet, there's dry.
As of now, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we're the first registered meadery in the state of Nevada, correct?
Yeah.
I believe we are, which is kind of cool. We get to make that claim to fame. I love it. Ever since I had it, I fell in love with it. I think it's a very cool story, and I like to tell it to people, which kind of makes it a very, you know, it's a short thing, and it's very introductory to it's a good introduction to the beverage, because it's definitely something something different. I mean, you're talking about a honey wine, and you could have it dry, you could have semi-dry, you could have it very sweet, but it's definitely something that you that's away from the regular palette of alcohols that you've had out there. And I believe education is the biggest part of it. Something that we talked about for us is like it's about let's educate the public. Let's go ahead and bring this to the limelight because it's something that people are missing out on. I love the fact that Vikings used to drink it. I love the fact that the history or part of the history of mead was that they would take honey and water, and that was kind of like their Gatorade before going into battle. They would leave these bags of honey water and go into battle and then come back, and this thing was fermented. And so if they won and they got to come back and drink it, they figured, oh, the gods are blessing us by giving us alcohol out of our regular honey water, you know, drink that we normally have. And I think that's absolutely metal. I love that story. You know, I don't know the accuracy of it. I've read it plenty of times, so I feel that that's the gist of it. Obviously, there's a lot more. And mead has been around since way before the Vikings, actually. Egyptians were having it. I think they found, yep. They recently found some
Mesopotamia, China. It's been everywhere.
So it's been all over the place. But I just love that story. I think it's just such a cool thing to hear. And it's, when you have it, it's just such a sweet, delicious drink. And I've always said, like, it's good enough for the ladies and it's good enough for a Viking. So I don't care where you're at in the spectrum, you're going to like this.
Yeah, I think the mead has mead's got a kind of a strange relationship to beer, and especially craft beer, where I know when I was first starting to get into craft beer and I first started brewing myself, I had a friend that was making mead, and I was like, you're making what? Mead?
That's the reaction. Seriously? We used to get a lot of time. Yeah.
But I think it's awesome. I've tried your mead and it's fantastic. But you guys will definitely be the only place around that will actually be selling me to the general public. As far as the education part goes, I think that's awesome because that's all it takes, truly. Because people are like, me? What? Like, are you trying to get me to drink, like, mulled wine or mulled cider or something like that? It's just a strange old drink.
Well, that's the cool thing with it also, because mead isn't definitely not beer. It's definitely not wine. Mead is definitely its own category. However, when you think about it, it's water, honey, and yeast. So especially for someone, you know, that's sensitive with gluten, mm-hmm. Guess what?
And that's
it's gluten free. Guess what? There's no grain in there at all. It's if just honey and
if
water.
If you're health conscious, obviously honey is going to help you with allergies and stuff like that. So we looked a lot into the health benefits of it too. It's not just like, let's not just get everybody drunk. We looked at the health benefits of mead and how it can help or how we can help local farmers like beekeepers around here. We've actually worked with a lot of people around here, so everything that we're doing is local, it's organic, it's raw honey, so you're getting all these benefits from it, along with the, you know, the fact that you can get a nice little buzz and you get to enjoy a nice sippable drink. So all that comes into the table. We do a lot of infusions with it. We started doing barrel aging recently and it's worked out phenomenally.
And the coolest thing I think is that we actually have a local honey, so we can make a 100% local Las Vegas mead, something awesome. That's ours from Vegas, something that I love this town so much, it's been so good to me, something I could give back. You know, this is from us, this is our blood, this is our honey, this is everything local. I think that's one of my favorite parts about it.
I think being the first registered meadery in the state of Nevada, being able to do an all local ingredient thing is pretty awesome also.
Well, the core concepts behind the brewery have always been intelligent growth. We want to go ahead and grow intelligently. We want to stay as green as possible. We want to go ahead and make sure that we minimize our carbon footprint, and definitely it's a connection with the locals. We want to work with the local pubs, we want to work with the local restaurants, we want to work with the local farmers, we want to work with everybody that's local. We want to go ahead and make sure that Vegas is benefiting from what we're doing. It's not about us, it's about our community. So those are the three main things that we want to do with this brewery, and so far everything that we've done has been based around that.
That's really cool. I think the part that I get hung up on, because I'm just fascinated with, is the mead. And I believe we're going to sample some mead in a little bit.
Let's do that.
So why don't we take care of that when we come back.
Absolutely.
Because I know Key's dying to talk, and we made a bet that he couldn't last 2 minutes not
I'm
talking.
Impressed.
And we're actually at 13 minutes, other than that little blip when he first started. It's amazing.
Impressed.
So, we'll be right back, folks.
It almost makes me want to do one just so I could use that name.
No, let's do it. Let's do it with no condoms. Ooh. You a cuddler?
Just raw?
Just raw.
Yeah, oh, no, man. I'm kind of not a cuddler.
No, good, good, because that would be gay.
Yeah.
Let's just do what two dudes do with great bodies. Let's just handle that out.
The man crush is almost.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that sort of homoerotic type of beginning is brought to you by OBSBeers.com and a motor brewing company here in Las Vegas, Nevada. We're here live with these guys on a pre-recorded show on Martin Luther King's birthday. Whenever this is going to air, that's when you'll know. We're also filming live on Periscope. We want to welcome everybody who's watching us live, so please make sure you check us out with that. And so right now, we're breaking off into some meat. So let's talk about this meat that you guys made. Like, how old is this?
This was actually 2 years old, right?
This is over 2 years. We made this, I checked before we came, we made this November of 2014.
Wow. Okay.
It's
good talk.
Like a huge pause. It's a nice little sparkling meat. I believe this was Canadian honey.
We saw this honey at like Whole Foods, and it was just almost clear. And I just looked at him like, we have to make a meat out of that.
Right.
Just, we have to.
You know, speaking of meat, how long is actually the process for making meat? Some say 2 years.
Well, making meat itself is extremely quick. We could make meat in like
4 hours, too, maybe. No,
we can make a meat, sanitize everything in like almost 2 hours.
Okay. 2 hours.
However, you know, it does take our meads. Generally, if we make our standard mead, we're looking at least anywhere from 12 to 15 months before it's aged enough where you get rid of that green, weird, like, smell and taste out of it.
Oh, okay.
Cool. It's definitely a waiting process. It's a difficult waiting process because we have a pretty good idea what the end game is. And so we're sitting there.
It's upsetting. We have to stare at it.
Looking at it.
For over a year.
Angry, yeah. You know, very angrily.
You end up hating it, really, before you drink it because you just stare at it like, I have to wait so long.
So right now, there are two young ladies that are watching us. One is Star on Periscope and
Substar.
Silly Girl on Periscope. They're saying, is it meat? M-E-A-T beer.
You can get meat from me, but if you can get mead from Immortal.
So, but they're saying, how's it spelled?
M-E-A-D.
There it is.
Okay. Like Lake Mead out there here in Vegas.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
The meat is sold separately. Please get with these guys whenever you guys get a chance. Yeah,
not these guys, just this guy.
Yeah, definitely him.
Yeah, that's right. Gods don't fuck with the mortals anymore. Once you've ascended to like fucking either Hades or fucking Zeus's house, you can't fucking touch any more human pussy. That's all I know. You can't get your fingers in that. Okay, so let's talk about this mead. So let's do it.
I think the first thing we have to do before we talk about it is let's have a goddamn sip.
Let's cheers to that shit.
Cheers.
That's right. Over there, cheers. My good sir. All right. Applesauce.
Cinnamon,
right? Applesauce, honey. It
smells like a sizer.
Sex in a glass.
It smells like sex in a glass. It's before, after spending your
A little bit of pear in there.
Oh. Definitely pear.
A lot of fruit.
I can't believe how much cinnamon's in there. Did we put cinnamon in this?
It might have been cinnamon.
I don't remember at all.
One of the issues with this whole 2 year waiting period is that we progress with the brewery, we've actually learned how to keep track of certain things, but there was a lot of experimentation in the first couple of years, and then there was a lot of beer making.
This is delicious. So let's taste it. I'm gonna taste it anyway because Frank already went ahead. Everybody's like, "Fuck
it." I've been tasting it.
It tastes like a sizer. It's crazy.
There's a lot going on. It's soft, lightly carbonated, mm-hmm. a little effervescent.
It's a little sparkling media. Mm.
There's a lot of cinnamon. It's even got a little bit of that grit cinnamon puts out.
Ground cinnamon specifically, because it's not like that cinnamon sugar, like a sweet one. Definitely ground.
Very earthy. Definitely can taste rich honey. It's got raw honey, almost as if you put the comb in there, like it's just sat in there, and you can taste that sort of waxy body of the comb. Not that sweet, actually. It's not overbearingly sweet. Like, this is would be good, like, before a really good sodomy section, or like right after.
But not dry either, though.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not. It's not dry at all. It's very liquid, refreshing.
And this is good. The scary thing is, I checked also, it's 11.2% alcohol.
Oh, beautiful. Yes. Very nice. I can do some bad things. Absolutely.
I love what you said earlier. I mean, from chicks to Vikings.
Yeah. This works. From ladies.
But to I Vikings. Noticed you left out trannies.
Well, that's in between.
They're
right?
People, too, they're somewhere.
They're somewhere in there. Okay, so because at some point, you got ladies, then Vikings. I don't know if there was
a Viking. A Viking could be a tranny.
He's saying
everything
in between those two.
Oh, in between. Got
what this will work for.
Got it. In between, like, the tranny. So exactly. We're trying to get the tranny community more into beer. They're using.
Hey,
they're welcome.
We don't care what you are. You know, if you like beer, you're a friend. So,
ladies and gentlemen, I did in fact say after sodomy, this would be great for it. If you are are down on your knees and you're like, wow, I would love to rinse out what just happened. This mead will do it, and then you feel better about yourself.
This mead will get you there, and it will help you forget.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, I'll have some of the mead, too, to help you rinse out what was going on. You know, has that ever happened? Like, okay, let me ask you a question, Mr.
Oh, don't ask him. No, you can't ask him that question. I know where this is going.
Sure, it's all right.
Good. I'm glad someone knows me. All right, Keith, you and your wife.
No, not ask this question, sir.
It's about to get jiggy with it, and it's going to be a full-on fucking Greek fest in the bedroom. What is the number one beer you normally would grab before your brewery? And then the part two is, now that you make beer, what would that be?
It's funny because I actually know the answer to the second part of that.
All right, so let's say you never made beer. It's about to be, get the fuck out of here, girl. It's about to go down. A lot of pieces of flesh and liquids.
Funny enough, because my wife has never known me since I haven't been brewing. So I met my wife after we started the brewery. So she's never known me before we've brewed our own beer. So Rumplemints. Why? And I'll tell you why right now.
It's what the gods drink.
Christina, try to stop him. I was on your side.
And what happens is, yes, it's Rumplemints, but guess what? You've been drinking, you've been eating, you don't have time to brush your teeth. Guess what? The Rumplemints?
Mouthwash.
100%.
Yes.
Right?
And 100% proof.
100% proof, too. So guess what? You seal the deal, and it's fresh.
Nice. Okay, now, we don't have Rumplemints. The beer you make. What's the beer you're going to get?
You want to get cute? Let's say it at the same time. On three. One, two, three.
Tiki Triple.
Which, by the way, is funny. One of my favorites.
So I'll give you the background. I'll give you the background on that beer because I brewed this specifically for her.
Yeah.
She virtually threatened to leave me if we didn't brew a beer that she liked. We brewed all these stouts, these dark beers, IPAs. She didn't like any of them. So she's like, I'm going to leave you unless you brew a beer that I like. I'm like, okay. What do you want? She goes, I want a Belgian triple that tastes tropical.
Lizard.
I was like, good Lord. All right.
She knows her shit.
Right? So I told him and we sat there and brainstormed. And I guess I'll say it now. Hopefully she never watched this, but it's probably our best beer.
No, it's a great beer. Actually, I told him the first time I had it, I was like, how many cases? I need, like, don't sell this. Like, it's all for me now. I know the story behind it, which is great.
And it's a perfect go-to beer, you know, like, it's got great flavor, you know, maybe you don't like a stout, you know, maybe you don't like something.
It's really accessible.
Dark, it really is.
It's versatile.
Yeah.
Very universal.
Very versatile.
Absolutely.
I could definitely, when I had it, I was already running in my head, like, what would I cook with it? What would I pair it with? All right, so now that we know what was one of your inspirations. What's one of yours, Andy? As far as since he almost lost his marriage, so he's like, I gotta make a beer. What's a beer that you?
I got nothing to lose. So
okay. So, yeah.
Just meet me at my house.
So, what exactly is a good beer that you came up with based upon a good story? Not as tragic as someone leaving you, but.
I guess if I was going to claim one of those for my own, it would have to be the Imperial, probably. That's really most of mine. I love dark, high-gravity beer. I love something coffee-driven, chocolate-driven, cocoa-driven, anything like that. And so it started right around my birthday, or before my birthday, I wanted to have something like that. So when we started brewing a little bit more, let's say, professional, I started putting together something like that. So I made the darkest style that I could. I named it after... The Wars of the Stars. I don't know if you can say that out loud.
What?
The Wars of the Stars. Can we use that?
Say whatever the fuck you want.
Fucking the Star Wars. I fucking...
You can say sodomy, midget, pygmy porn. I don't give a fuck.
I'm just saying, before George Lucas shows up here. Or Disney. Actually, I'm not afraid of Lucas. I'm afraid of Disney. Yeah,
there's a guy for that.
Disney can suck my proverbial dick, dude. I don't give a shit.
His little frozen head.
Yep.
All right. So, no, anyway, so I love Star Wars. So I was like, all right, I want to make this as dark and, like, you know, as dark as possible. So I called it Given to the Dark Side. And I try to have it ready for my birthday. It usually ends up happening. And what's great about it, we try to get up to like between like 9 to 10%. Nice Imperial Russian style. But it's so far it's worked out great. The next step over is barrel aging, because the original idea was barrel aging the stout. We haven't really worked much with barrels. We use some staves, right? We use like
we've some done oak. Some wood chips, and then usually for the meads, people donate us like a gallon barrel. One was awesome. It was
We had a Bolz
Geneva, then just a level 3 char barrel with nothing in it before. And we've used them for the mead specifically, and they come out awesome.
So this year I'm actually going to barrel age that, but that's definitely my inspirational beer. Is something. It's really made to my palate. I'm not really I'm not really worried about who has it, but I've gotten some really good reviews on it.
Nice.
So eventually it'll come into rotation at the brewery. And like I said, I'm more than likely it's going to be a seasonal, something that I can make for my birthday. My birthday's on December 28th. So that means that right around the time where it's winter, where you're having all these dark, delicious beers, it'll come right into play.
Nice. Frank, what you got with them?
As far as what would you classify as the beers that are going to pay your bills and then the beers that you can just go far out on?
So virtually when we open, we're planning to ride with four beers. We talked about the Honey Smoke Biscuit. Mm-hmm. We talked about the Tiki Triple. We also did a Cuban Coffee.
The Dissidence Rising.
Milk Stout, the Dissidence Rising. And then the other one we haven't mentioned is called the City of Rye Lay, which is our Black Rye IPA. Now, the name is a little weird for most, but the City of Arlay is where the Cthulhu sleeps. And H.P. Lovecraft's
I love cartels. Cthulhu. Hell Cthulhu.
Right? Cthulhu. So instead of City of Arlay, we just changed the City of Rylay. Mm-hmm. So it's a Black Rye IPA, 6%, very approachable.
It's very sessionable, really. You know, 6% is very.
You're going to put like little tiny octopus limbs in.
Actually,
it, like,
it's going to be the label is going to be a hop like body with barley tentacles.
Oh, nice. Cool.
You know.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Hell Cthulhu.
So, yeah.
Well, we're gonna or Hop-Thulu.
We're gonna pay homage to the real one, Mr. Greek God over there. Come on now.
So
God, his laugh is infectious. Like you don't have kids, do you?
Not yet.
Oh my God, Dad, I'm gonna tell you a joke. And he's gonna tell us as he gets older, like my dad had a booming voice. I told him this knock knock joke.
No, his kid's gonna talk the same, right?
See, look, oh my God, it's fucking fucked up. I'm gonna beat your ass. Like it'd be great.
You hear the baby crying?
Baby's all doing push-ups. You like this, Daddy's like 6 months old and shit. It's fucking horrible.
Yeah, okay, right.
So we're definitely launching with four. That's our portfolio. Actually, if you go to our website, immortalbrewco.com, or if you follow us on Untappd, everything's going to be the same thing, immortalbrewco.com. We're on Untappd. You can kind of check them out. If you're local in Vegas right now, we can't sell just because until we're established, we can't really go into the retail aspect of it. But we'd be more than happy to like have you come over, hang out with us, test some of the beers. We usually get together with friends and with potential clients and stuff like that. We just kind of gave them a little sip and just enjoy this before we actually formally present ourselves into the Las Vegas market. But first and foremost, this is something that we do for fun. This is something that we do because we love it, we're passionate about it, we want to grow with it, and we want to make a living off of it. But it started because it's fun. We love beer.
Oh yes.
It's something that's very dear and close to our hearts, and beer has always been something we've shared. And I think that's something that's a very common theme here with you guys at OBS. So we definitely...
It's what we have in common.
It's what we have in common. And so don't be afraid to reach out to us. Don't be afraid to say, hey, guys, come meet with us. Or we want to meet with you guys. Let's have a beer. Let's have a beer together. See who we are. I like to think of ourselves as beer geeks. We're not going to snob beer. We're just going to geek out about it, really, whatever comes our way. And we want everybody to feel that way. We want everybody to feel like there's so much to learn, and there's things we know, there's things we don't. So if you have something that you can contribute to what we're doing, by all means, reach out to us, and we'll be more than happy to give you some beer and hear what you have to say.
I like it. All right, so we'll be right back after a commercial break.
We'll be right back after this.
Andy, good times. How you doing, buddy?
Phenomenal.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
When you are kind of stuck on what's the next beer you're going to buy, you walk into the place and you're like, fuck, they got so much stuff. What should I try? What's a resource that you might use?
Pull out my phone and I go to obsbeers.com.
Obsbeers.com. Interesting. What do they got there?
They got Key, who's an incredibly insane asshole, but the guy knows what he's talking about. And so I'll look at the last reviews and I'll see what they have on, and I can make a selection. They got plenty of beers that have been reviewed there and plenty more that are coming up. So it's a constant change of portfolio stuff and very sincere reviews.
That's awesome. So I can get that on my smartphone, just plug it in,
yep,
pull it up, and I'm ready to go?
Absolutely.
Awesome. I'm going to check that out the next time I'm at the store picking up beer. OBSbeers.com.
OBSbeers.com.
Awesome. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. Welcome back.
Welcome back to Open Bottle Talk here with the folks from Immortal Brewing Company.
Penis.
Cheers.
Penis. Yeah, we really appreciate you guys being here. That mead was fantastic.
Thank you guys for having us, man. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. That everything you guys make is like stupid delicious. Fuck.
That's it. We love the praise. Honestly, we're very humbled by it. Yeah. I mean, you guys go through a lot of beer, and we really are humbled that you look at us and say that and be sincere about it.
You guys are right up there as far as I've been doing it, my flavor profile, just how I do things, and you've seen it, Andy. You guys are right up there. You guys are like within my top 20.
Thanks, man.
Top 20.
That's high praise from
you. And you guys are brand new, too, so you can only go up from there, so I can't wait till you guys become like my top five.
We're excited. We're
challenge accepted, sir.
We've gotten great reception from everybody, and we tell people, please, 100% honest, we could take criticism, you know, and we've gotten some great reviews.
We're not just doing this for us; we're doing it for everybody. Honestly, like I said, it's one of our main core values is the community. Like we're reaching out to you guys. We don't want to make the mistake of making beer for ourselves. We want to make beer to share, and so we take everybody into consideration. We really do.
So, guys, drink up, have something, liquid.
We're drinking.
Just drink up. Let me ask you guys a question. So. Here's a serious question. What if InBev came and offered you money? Would you go with them if the money was good?
No.
Because me and Frank were talking. We were like, man, if we sold out our business, then we'd just go make another brewery. You'd just go make another one. Like, would you guys...
They'd probably make you sign a non-compete, I would think.
They make you sign a non-compete.
Really?
And absolutely. I would definitely not want to sell because this is our baby. I mean, one thing is, like, I understand a lot of people will actually get into the business to make the money. Mm. We do this because we genuinely love making beer. I love everything about it. I mean, I love making the water. You know, we love
ridiculous
brewing. We love everything about the industry. So for us to sell it would just be like, it would kill me. I could never do
and
it.
And it's, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I look at this, but like I said, I'm not a snob. I understand why it is that they are who they are. I understand why it is that they do what they do. But the thing is that we're not trying to compete with them. We're trying to make beer for us. We're trying to make beer for you guys. We're trying to make beer for our community. We're not interested in trying to beat this macro giant who has a specific model. We have our own motto, and our motto is very simple. It's just we're trying to bring our best forward to the table and share it with you guys.
Yeah, it's not about the money. I mean, for us, if we could put food on our table and pay our bills, we're happy, you know, because we're doing what we love. You know, when someone tells you do what you love, I never understood that concept until we started this brewery. I'm like, we can legitimately do something that we love.
Ladies and gentlemen, I didn't mean to cut Keith off there, but that booming sound was him actually calling the lightning as a god here on the show. We're like, yo, calm down. Calling on your fucking Norse powers right now, Colombian boy.
You're getting all wrong. I'm the Colombian. Yeah. He's the Cuban.
I'm Cuban. He's Colombian.
What's the difference? Is it a hat?
The difference is he makes the stuff, we buy it and sell it.
And y'all take it, really. Yeah. We make it, they ship it, y'all take it. That's how it works.
I like the way that works. Make a shirt that says
interesting, funny joke, actually. There's a mob museum. If you're not familiar with Vegas, if you are, you'll know what I'm talking about. This mob museum here. And he's always told me, like, hey, you need to go check this out. It's a really cool
place.
That's
a really dope place.
It's a really dope place. So I walk in and I realize that is the whole history of us. Like our ancestors, like, we're going over here. And it was like, the Colombians were doing this and the Cubans got together and then they brought it into Vegas. And I was like, holy crap, we're doing the same thing again.
Yeah.
Like the Colombian and the Cuban got together and now we're making beer and we're bringing it into Vegas.
It's just nature. It's natural for us to do this.
History repeats itself, I guess. Except, you know, we're doing legal stuff. Yeah.
Nice. Now, you've been sitting over there, Mr. Upchuck, all quiet. How you feeling over there, buddy?
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
How's the beer you guys are having right now?
What do you call it here? Bessie Pop Cherries.
It's just a beer.
No, it's good. It's fantastic.
What? It's awesome because it blows my mind because there's so much going on. Like you said, I get coconut water 100% with cherries, but then I get that Belgian yeast. So it's just, there's so many things going on. It's completely unique. So I love it.
I get some spice behind it.
Yeah, there was none put in there. It was probably byproduct from the yeast itself. But,
what do we use?
We use two strains. We used a Belgium Strong, and then we used a.
That's how you got that.
Hefeweizen Blonde or something like that.
But then hop wise, we used.
Citra. Mosaic.
Citra Mosaic. And
Tingers.
Tinger.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
And then we used 100% coconut water. It was my neighbor worked for Jack's Cocoa and gave me 80 cases of the 1 liter bottles.
Holy crap.
And we used probably a good 40 of them.
Awesome.
And we kept topping it off. And then I had if you guys look over there, that cherry jar right there.
Yeah.
It was full of cherries and we just poured it in there and then, like, let it sit.
Whole thing.
It sat for 3 months because I didn't have the money for bottles.
Yeah, but it also it would not stop fermenting.
I can't imagine.
Every now and then I'd look
fucking,
over.
That's got to be the happiest yeast I've ever fucking seen.
Yeah, it was
crazy. Just happy yeast all day long. Because
and he kept showing me pictures sugar. Like, dude, your shit won't settle down.
I'm all I wanted. I wanted out of my fermenter so I can go.
Right. I was a yeast cake. Was it like a huge fucking cake on the top?
No, it really wasn't all that bad. The big struggle was the cherries because. Cherries were just gumming everything up to the point where I literally stuck my hands in sanitizer to go into the bucket to clear them out of the spigot.
Yeah, there was a lot that we used. That's like, I think that's a 4-pound jar.
Yeah.
And we just threw it in there. So it was just something like I learned as a chef, and you'll understand the subject. You learn from your mistakes the first time you make a plate.
Absolutely.
And make a dish. So when I made my first beer, it didn't taste like chocolate and bacon. I was doing an Irish Red, but it was a homebrew kit, and he's the one who taught me how to homebrew. So I've been a reviewer 4 years now, and I'm going backwards. So I meet him off of Periscope, and I'm like, dude, I want to make beer. He's like, okay, be at my house at this date. I brought over what I had. We made the beer, and I'm like, all right, right off the bat, I'm already doing weird shit. Like, fuck the recipe.
Yeah.
I want a bacon and fucking chocolate, so.
But that's the beauty behind it. You know, and that's one thing before we even start brewing, we're like, what if someone made a beer like this? You're like, what if someone made a beer with Cuban coffee? Ooh. Like, why wait when we can do it?
Yeah, like that's like what's behind what I do. It's like, all right, I've tasted thousands of beers. I would love to see this sort of thing. Like, there was this new, I forgot, they're in Florida, but they made an IPA coffee, and they filtered it out, but it tastes like coffee and IPA. It's like the most crystal yellow thing I've ever seen. And I forgot who made it. It was out of some restaurant that brews their own beers.
Craft House does it, too, out in Vegas. A golden coffee-flavored beer. It was phenomenal. I think Banger does it also.
Banger does a coffee cult.
Banger is awesome.
Say hi to the guys.
Actually. Absolutely. Yeah. There's a lot of local love out here, and we've, you know, just like you guys with a lot of good hugs and high fives and all that good stuff, we get a little bit of the same thing. But that's my best improvement as far as homebrewing. So I know when I make the third one, I pretty much have an idea as a chef to another chef, Mr. Upchuck. I know exactly, like, I don't measure. I just, you know what I mean? Like, we're good. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And so the next beer is going to be pretty good. And I was talking with Andy, and hopefully you'll help me with it. I just want to get the next one out and make something weird because there's like 7 of them in my head. And like the next one after this is called Mandingo Pool Party Rich Dark Porter. And then there's another one called, Sticky Mud Cocoa Butt.
It's got
It's going to have all sorts of weird shit. I might throw in a Hershey bar just for the hell of it. There's one called Sticky Mud Butt Peanut Butter Porter or some shit. Like, they're just all weird names. It's funny, I don't have a license.
It's honestly, the naming part is really fun. We have a lot of fun with the naming.
Oh, yeah.
I remember City of L.A. was actually kind of funny. The story's not that funny, but it's just the moment where we did come up with it. I just remember clearly there was a bunch of dust over my back window, and I remember just drawing Cthulhu. And I was like,
no one really worships him. They just draw him on walls and shit.
I was like, and I read like a little passage from Wikipedia, and I was like, oh, you know, the city of Arlay. And I'm like, oh, it's dark. So the beer is black, and Arlay, you could change it to Rye-lay. And this guy was like, yeah.
He was just so jacked up. How do you say that's metal?
Completely metal.
Super metal.
Completely metal.
And we just, and you know, funny enough, we were actually brewing at that point, and we listen to a lot of metal while we're brewing.
Nice.
There's no affiliation at all, but there's a black metal band called Immortal, so we do get inspiration by listening.
Come visit us, you might drink for free.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's probably.
Okay, so at this moment right now, guys, we're going to leave it to Periscope. If anybody out there in Periscope would like to ask the whole crew from Immortal Brewing Company here in Las Vegas, Nevada, go right ahead. We'll give you guys a few moments to get your questions. We can actually read it here. And then we'll give you guys your credits. So if you guys have any questions, up to you guys. Come on, jump on in.
Keep track. While we're waiting, I know our listeners are going to want to know, when are you going to brew a Smallville-inspired beer?
I can't believe
it's not the first one you did.
No.
Done.
Dude, I already got the recipe.
Kristen Kolsch. Done.
Kristen Kolsch. You know what?
Kristen Kolsch.
Has to be a low ABV, low IBU, low everything.
Yeah, nice. All right, Star 0916 says, do you guys have Immortal tattooed on you guys?
Not yet.
But it's happening.
It's going to happen.
It's absolutely happening.
Wonderful. And when you do decide to get it on you, where's it going to be?
Tramp stamp.
Nice.
Nothing wrong with that.
This is actually, I'm probably going to leave my...
Nah, tramp stamp. It's said. No, no.
I already have a tramp stamp.
You better get it covered.
Oh, you do have a tramp stamp.
No, just write it in there somewhere. Star said, nice.
Says, Lock and Load says, put it on your penis so you can see your company grow.
Ah. Oh.
Lock and Load, that's awesome. I like
it's
that.
It's funny because I've always said, from now on, girls get immortalized.
Great. Gross and great. It's wonderful.
He says that.
Paper cuts hurt like a motherfucker. They do. All right. So let's see. Any other guys got any other questions? You guys have questions for us over there from Immortal? I mean, Keith, this is your first time actually hanging out with us, dude. I mean, Andy knows us pretty goddamn well. Yeah. So.
Oh, this is great, man.
I've done my.
This will definitely not be the last time, man. You guys are awesome. This is good.
Good, good. Get you out of the house. You don't have to look at nobody. You get away from beer and drink beer. So.
Getting away from beer, just the thought, even though I'm coming to more beer, makes me sad.
I mean, you get away from beer to come to beer. So it's not like it's a heartbreak leaving it.
It's one of those negative concepts of getting away from beer. I just like to, technically I brought mead with me, so I had at least something with me at all times on the way here.
This is true. That is true.
That makes me happy.
Or you had your two friends, your family.
It's true.
See, you didn't really...
Absolutely.
And I'm like 10% beer at all times. So.
All right. Someone had asked, where is your brewery going to be opened and what part of town?
So we're definitely here in Vegas and we're trying to stay in the southwest area.
So there's a bunch of industrial buildings directly west of the strip. On the other side of the I-15, we're looking in that area because we still want to be industrial like most breweries are because we are definitely producing an export as well. But we want to be close enough where if we get popular enough or you've heard of us and want to visit us, we're a quick Uber right away or a cab right away where you could escape the casino and be like, we're right over there.
Is that over near Al?
There's a couple spaces we're looking at by that area.
Nice.
We like the South because there's no breweries in the South. There's really no really cool beer places in Southern Las Vegas right now. I've always said 80% of our clientele in Las Vegas at all times comes from Southern California, which has a ton of great beer.
Right.
So if we could compete with that, people would come in and be like, okay, we could take a crawler out to go back home and share, or we get into town and let's stop at these guys first before we get to the hotel.
Nice. This is a two-part question. One comes from Silly Girl, Miss Brenda. She said, what are your price points going to be when you guys finally open? And Julie, which is Hey Little Girl, she wanted to know, how many beers have you guys made overall?
Okay, so I'll start with the second part of that question. Our portfolio is like right now up to like 32, 34 beers, but we're definitely going to do four, and like I said, we're just going to bring in seasonals as the time comes, and then we're just going to start slowly taking over. We're going to have a pretty big tap room, right? We're going to start slowly taking over the tap room as we introduce beers into the market. So that would be the second part of that question.
And the first part of the question is, we're going to be pretty much priced like everybody else in town is for craft. I mean, we don't want it. We want it to be approachable where you actually get excited to come see us at our tasting. So I can't give you a price point right now. I mean, $5-$6 more or less.
It's average.
Pretty average. Yeah. You know, we, as low as we can get, as long as we could stay afloat. And like I said, as long as I could eat every day, I'm happy. So we're not looking to be
overpriced. We're not trying to gouge anybody. We're not trying to be this elitist type brewery. Not that there's anything wrong with that. If that's your business model, phenomenal, and that's what works for you, for great. But like I said, we're trying to be approachable and accessible to everybody. Our goal is to introduce as many people to craft beer as there is, and then to keep the ones that are there, and then just to make we're not trying to build an empire. We're just trying to make a living and have fun.
Actually, I had a question. So you guys are going to be serving mead, right?
Yes.
And what is the portion size going to be and the price on that also?
Ooh, good question.
That's a really good question.
That's what I'm going to be going there for.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, you're going to get whatever they allow. I'm going in the back.
I mean, portion size, it depends on the mead. I mean, if, you know, we're talking about making a port style mead, I found a great place that sells raw almond honey. I would love to make that into a port. So, you know, you're looking 14.5%. I could not imagine giving more than about 3 ounces for a serving.
4 ounces. Yeah.
Not even four, like 3 max, because it's going to be so rich and so heavy. You couldn't, more than that would be overkill. However, if we do a lighter, like a sparkling mead that's 10%, maybe we'd be inclined to do maybe 4 to 5.
Right. The one that we had, one of the things that has always been under discussion is a good sessionable mead, something that you could definitely maybe have 8 ounces off over time, because this is, regardless of how you do it, this is a cloying drink,
Right.
Nobody's having a glass a pure whiskey.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got me, like, this is just a sippable thing. This is the way you would have
it. You ain't met me, brother.
I mean, challenge accepted. You know,
where is my 13 ounces of meat, bitch? Bringing over some Viking glassware and shit. Star wants to know, do you guys have a Periscope?
We don't have a Periscope, but you know what? That's going to happen yet. We do have social media. You can find us on Facebook, like I said, immortalbrewco.com. You can find us on Tap. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on YouTube. We're definitely becoming more active in social media now as we're getting closer to a launch date. So we definitely love to, if you guys can, if you guys want to show us a little love and support, feel free to, you know, hit us up there, see what we're doing. And obviously our website, immortalbrewco.com. Just go check it out there. It'll link you to every other part of social media. We'd love to hear from you guys. You know, any feedback, any love, any suggestions, even any hate. Honestly, like, we're here to learn from you all. This is for everybody.
And if you're not local and you're coming into town, let us know. We would love to meet you and give you beer.
We've actually built a very good following from tourists that come into town and they just happen to find us at our place of work and or outside of our place of work. And, you know, we just get into the conversation and they say, hey, let us try some stuff. And they end up having a little taste. And we get a lot of love for people from outside of town being a great, you know, tourist town.
Two parts. This one comes from me. One, what is a response to anybody that would say, look, getting into it, what advice could you give me if it could be one advice from one of you guys getting into just making beer? Uh-huh. Which a lot of people I've met doing this, they just enjoy making beer. Their end all goal may not be one day I want to open up a business around beer, but I want to make beer. From each of you two, what would be some inspirational one statement, a piece about someone that's thinking about getting into beer or they're having a little hangups and like, man.
I mean, first and foremost is have fun. You know what I mean? If you're making your own beer, that's already awesome as it is. There's so much information online these days where if you just, you know, go on and buy a kit, the kit will come with directions. And then you could just follow those directions for a first beer. It's phenomenal. And then from there, you're going to always have a lot of questions. You know, so you brew that first beer, you follow the directions, it comes out, and you have a beer. Then at that point, you could, you know, you wonder. Our first couple beers were kits too, and we always wondered, why did this not come out this way?
And then
we looked it up, and then you just keep going from there. And it's up to you, because the cool thing about homebrewing is you can brew whatever you want. You know, if you're a sour fan, go nuts. You know, if you like stouts, if you like pale ales, if you like pilsners, no matter what, you can literally make whatever you want.
What's cool about beer, I look at it as art. You know, like, anybody can go ahead and grab canvas and paint. Nobody can tell you that's not art. But if you want to be a great artist, then it's going to take time, effort, work, a lot of learning. And that's what it comes, I think that's what makes a great brewer. It's just the amount of work and learning that you put into it. You don't have to learn from everybody else, but you just have to learn. Whether it's from your own mistakes, whether it's from, you know, reading online, whether it's from books that have already been put out there, or from the people around you, you just have to learn. And that's how you're going to improve on your art. So you can continuously make beer, and it'll be great, and it'll be, you know, you might be a phenomenal cook just off the bat. You might be, you know, fucking ratatouille, you know, or you might be just completely awful. It doesn't matter. Nobody's going to be able to tell you that's not
beer. That's what's fantastic about you guys, too. I very novice as far as the craft beer and knowing, you know, knowledge behind it or whatever, but these guys are so willing to educate. And they, you know, this when you smell this is what you could be looking for, this and that or whatever. When you taste it, you should feel this in the back of your throat or whatever. It's amazing.
Right, of course.
Yeah. We usually don't talk.
Yeah, don't worry about that. That's just dick back there, bro. You ever had a dick in your mouth? That's dick, bro.
But at any rate, these guys are so willing to educate and teach and just inform about beer.
Right.
Or meat or what. It's fantastic. It's awesome.
We love the passion that there is behind beer. We love the beer scene here is phenomenal. I mean, it's ridiculous because if you've ever been to Vegas, if you're from Vegas, you understand this is truly a small town. Like, this is a small town, and people don't realize that. People come to the Strip and they spend their time there and they freak out and it's like, oh, this is a small town. We all know each other. We all run into each other all the time. The fact that we get to share up on this knowledge is just such a cool thing. You know, the beer scene here, it's like everybody knows everybody. Everybody's very loving to everybody. We have incredible loads of knowledge here. I've met some people that just blew my fucking mind.
Nice.
And when somebody like that looks at you and they go, hey, you know, I want to try this, or I can't wait for your product to be out. It's so fucking humbling, man. It just makes me feel like I'm in the right track and that what we're doing is the right thing.
The fact that people compare us with breweries that already exist is super humbling. Like, wow, yeah. Like, people really like what we're doing.
Hey, you guys make great goddamn beer. Fucking get off your high horse, goddamn. Brad, his name is 2017 Designs, wants to know, what's the most exotic item you want to put in your beer?
Oh, man.
And it better not be fucking bodies of your victims. Like, oh, your victories. The bodies of your victories, you know.
Blood has been mentioned. No, I'm just kidding. We definitely wouldn't do that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Technically, if you boiled it, it'd be sanitary. But, but you know what? It's one of those things where if we get inspired by something and we're like, that's weird enough. You never know. I mean, when we think of exotic, we think of local. Like, things that we could grow here in the desert. Like,
yeah, we've considered, and we've looked very much into capturing yeast locally and using local yeast, wild yeast from the, you know, what's out there. So just go to different parts of the desert and just go ahead and see what we can pick up, see what we can use from here.
And then also,
so that's kind of a cool thing.
Mount Charleston, which is about 40 minutes from here. It's a ski resort right now. It's full of snow. Talked about actually capturing snow and melting it down and using snow as our water.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Who knows? Shoot. You know, something like that. Like, we, you know, we definitely like to, rosemary grows great out here. So does sage. We'd love to use that stuff, especially if it's from someone local and locally grown. That would definitely excite us. Juniper also grows very well out here. So that's something we'd also like to utilize.
The other thing is, I was going to finish up part two to what I was asking about the homebrew thing. Are you guys ever going to open up your doors to like a novice? Let's say Upchuck was like, guys, I want to make a beer, maybe at a smaller scale, like a 5-gallon batch. Would you guys ever be open to that? And then if that's the case, would you be like, oh my God, that was great. Would you in return, like, say, hey, we're going to make this on a grander scale and stuff like that? Would you guys ever be open
personally
to something?
I don't have an issue with that. It's all going to come down to liability and stuff like that. So there are, you know, we are having fun with this, but this is still a business, so we have to look at it that way. So yeah, we'd be more than happy to, maybe like, if somebody comes up with a great recipe and then we can work with together with that person, we might not be able to allow them to brew with us or something like that, and that's all going to come down to insurance and stuff like that. We're definitely, I mean, as we grow into this community, we're not against
even maybe going with them in doing a homebrew with them personally.
Oh, that I have no problem. Call me any day. I'm
our big thing is also education. Like, we're never going to say no completely to somebody. Right. We will always take the time to sit down with you. Even if you have questions about homebrewing or beers or anything about it, we will sit down with you gladly, because if there's something I like talking about, it's definitely beer. Jesus, like, I'm never going to be upset talking about beer. You know, and then one of the things we also talked about doing is, when we get the meadery going, is personalizing meads for people. That we've already done, and it's been very successful, and people are very happy with that. So,
So you're telling me at some point I'm going to have to make a shelf on here and be like, all beers from Remoto Brewing Company?
Absolutely.
Because I got to record and put all that stuff up there.
You need two shelves. You need if the you, beers and the meads.
Yeah. Like a shelf like this?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're always open to everybody. You know, you come in, talk to Andy or myself. I mean,
we'll share it with you. If we don't know, we'll go ahead and help you figure it out. Like we'll look for it together, because it is part of us. Education. We've learned from everybody else. Everybody's been very welcoming, and we're not going to stop doing that. We're going to definitely repay that favor.
Nice. All right, Frank, do you want to go ahead and got anything left for these gentlemen? We're almost out of time.
I don't think so.
Pull your pants down?
Pull your pants down. The one big question I had was the Smallville beer. I can't wait to see that. That's going to be fun.
You know what's great? I mean, it's going to have to be a small beer. It's going to have to, you know, what the Belgians call their table beer, something very sessionable.
If we don't call that Kirsten Kolsch, I'm going to be upset.
Well, you know, I think the small beer, what the goddamn name is?
Smallville.
Yeah, Smallville. I think that'd be great. And then, like, have some sort of, like, pasta-flavored beer. Like, the dude at the stand IPA or something weird.
Oh, my God.
Like, just, like, how did you guys meet? It's that beer right there, the one that we sell out of with
just
no
a
shirt.
Bit of chest hair for fermentation purposes.
some fucking bicep yeast or some shit. It's fucking
gross. I can just see myself, like, after, you know, the moment he gets out of the gym, just like,
let me just get that
swiping for yeast.
The label's him in a fucking apron and just his chest, and his, like, you know, one or two noodles in your mouth.
Sitting cooking pasta in Mount Olympus.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be right back. We're going to do our closing, and then, yay, we'll get you guys out of here.
Welcome back to the show, Open Bottle Talk. Again, don't fast forward through the disclaimer at the beginning. This was a pretty tame show tonight, but for the most part, it's usually pretty filthy. So do not skip over that.
Abortions are fun.
Exactly. We really, really urge you to make sure you're paying attention to that.
Brought to you by coat hangers.
Something like that. So we want to say thank you to Immortal Bruco for showing up, letting us ask our questions, doing a little get to know our fans and stuff. So we really appreciate you guys being here.
Thank you guys for having us. The reach around was phenomenal.
You gonna reach around?
I swear to God, I'm gonna suck Keith's fucking dick. I mean, I
must have been in the.
I'm a power top in the gay world. I'm a power top, and I'm gonna let Keith just pound it out, bro. He's just big and beautiful, and goddamn,
good night, everybody.
Yeah. God damn it, he's big for no apparent reason.
So one more time, if you guys could introduce yourselves, say your names, where you're from, let these guys know where they can find you.
Oh, Andy Goodtimes.
Keith.
And we're from Immortal Brewing Company out of Las Vegas, Nevada. We'll be opening soon. And you can definitely follow us. We have our website at immortalbrewco.com. And if you want to hit us up on social media, we have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and on Tap. It's going to be under the same thing, immortalbrewco.com or immortalbrewco.com.
Yeah, please, any questions, or like I said, if you're going to come into town or you are in town, let us know. Hit us up, and when we have something, we'll definitely share it with you guys.
Would you guys spell that out, just in case a lot of people may not know how to spell the word immortal?
All right, immortal. I-M-M-O-R-O-R-T-A-L. Jesus Christ.
He doesn't even know how to spell. I-M-M-O-R-T-A-L-B-R-E-W. co.com.
Good job.
I know, my God. Man,
well done. I noticed a little hesitation.
I'm struggling.
There.
I'm not lying. I'm like, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's also on their shirts that they're wearing. You
okay,
know,
so but, I'm gonna blame it on this fucker right here.
Oh, the 11%? Yeah, you're gonna blame it on my 11% beer, dude?
Because that was fine until I had that stupid thing.
Well, great. Well, good, because all the beers I'll be making are fucking shit. Like, they'll be like, who made that? Oh, it's 10% off shit's key. Where is that low grade shit?
The
Bill
Cosby beer making.
Good. Jello, port and ball. All right, so guys, we want to say thank you guys. ChillLoverRadio.net. We want to say thank you for allowing us to always keep people's ear holes wet and sodomized with our deliciousness. We want to thank Periscope out there, everybody that's watching us. We really do appreciate you guys. It's always a great thing. Always, if you guys want to catch us live, just follow us on Periscope, OBS Beers. Also, if you guys want to head over to obsbeers.com, and if you guys are not able to find or reach Immortal Brewing, check out our supporter and our sponsors page, and we'll actually have their logo put up there, and you guys will be able to click that icon and get directly to these guys, because let's face it, Andy's been with me since the beginning, and it's just phenomenal. It's an honor to actually see the way beer is. It is everything. It is life.
And
it is
honestly, like we said, man, it's what brought us together.
Yeah,
it's art, it's a science, it's a passion,
it's everything. And we wouldn't, honestly, let's face it, we all wouldn't be sitting here if it wasn't for beer. You know, me and you be somewhere fucking
face down.
We'd be working horrible. I'd be like, who's that Miami guy? I'd be like, I don't know. Talk to him. He's a gardener and all that sort of shit. And the two white guys. And
the llama trainer?
Yeah, the llama trainer. Watch
llama
out. They
whisperer.
Spit.
The llama whisperer.
They spit. I've been spit in the face by a llama. I fucking punched that shit. Yeah, first off, that's how we were funded from those other things. So again, guys, we want to appreciate it. So absolutely, guys. So if you guys want to check us out there, obsbeers.com. Beer is what we have in common.
What's your beer story?
We'll check you guys next time. Check you guys later. Thanks. Love you all. Fuck off. Bye.
That's right. Keep it locked right here where you got it. It's Chill Lover Radio.